Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Fins and dummy half. It's with the halfback, Williams. Williams goes himself, comes out the other side, gets it to Croker, bounces away from a would-be from De Goyf, puts a kick out wide, looking for Shander Earl, and Earl is in again. Oh, stop it, it's starting to hurt. Rugby league. Rugby league.
Hello, welcome to the SC Playbook Podcast, the NRL Supercoach Round 5 edition, proudly brought to you by Pat and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. I'm your host, Tim Williams, coming at you tonight with a bit of extra pep in the step. The hooves are pounding. The Cooma Stallions are on the charge up the Supercoach leaderboard. It's been a good Easter weekend all around for myself, for the Supercoach side. Here to talk through it with me today is 2021's 91st placed finisher, the SC Spy. Spy.
I'm coming for top 90, mate. The lights are pretty bright in here today, but luckily I tend to deal with that stuff. So that's been good. Knocked out, I know you had an absolute cracker, but yeah, knocked out 1090. I was on socials over the weekend talking about having a bit of fun. Obviously, trading KP out hasn't worked out as I hoped. Abs just blitzed it. He did what I knew he was going to do about 2 weeks before. I hoped he'd do it against some pretty good opposition, so fair play to him.
Could be SC good. Playbook's biggest post of the last 4 years in existence. You're going out, so blowing up, not blowing up, condolencing yourself, I suppose, about the hard luck story of going Ponga to Latrell. Mate, the people got around you.
Oh, mate, got good support here, good network. I will say, everyone's like, oh, you don't trade a gun. I'm like, it's not that. Like, you can't just do it in isolation, because it got me blokes like Pierce Paul pretty early, yeah. Paul Pierce, whatever his name is. Still don't get it right.
Paul Pierce. Shout out Boston Celtics, NBA.
Yeah, NBA legend always gets me. And I've got three or four really good trades around that last couple of weeks.
You can trade out a gun and trade out a keeper when they've got a break even of 200 and someone else has got a break even of negative 50.
Yeah, I did well with the money, but yeah, ideally he also would have gone bang average and I would have been absolutely fine, but you don't get them all, do you? So yeah, I'm actually sitting in 14K, but geez, it's not far off like the top, to be honest with you. I even had a look, people in like 50K are not that far off. There's like, it's been said before, but there is not much gap. Even on the weekend, the highest score is 120. There's yet to be the blowout 180 where everyone goes, oh, I didn't have him, I didn't captain him, I did. Like, it's going to happen, but it's yet to happen. It's keeping things pretty tight.
Well, our good pal, we were talking pre-show, Desi Creek, going well. I think he's around about 3,000 overall. And you, how far behind him?
100 points or 120, so there's nothing in it. So I'm pretty excited, mate. Got a bit of momentum. Even if we have a look through, like, should we, I think you were going to ask before, like we say it at times, go, I'm well happy with cash gen, but I thought I'd actually...
Save it for a sec. Okay. Let someone else speak for a moment, mate. We've got plenty of time left to come on this podcast. We'll get to your team, all right?
You told me how to get in and out. Let's do this.
No, we've got time.
I'm relaxed.
So, also with us today is a bloke who is flat stick behind punching the keys. It's Matty the Waterboy, because the Easter long weekend has thrown things out of whack a little bit. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll notice the nice wide-angle shot of Spy and myself. Basically, with the long weekend, there was no Bloke in a Bar podcast on Monday, so we did the big season recap today, which has pushed the Playbook podcast back a bit. My team's analysis on the SC Playbook website. Start of it's up there, but the full analysis will be coming tomorrow. Matty's flat stick working with bloke stuff tonight, so he's out of action. So just want to spell myself and Spy getting through it tonight. As for the Stars, I mentioned before, but 11.25 this week, so a much, much improved week. Up into the top 27K, Spy. And as I said, whenever you're referring to your Supercoach side and your rank, you can spin it whichever way you want. To be exact, I'm 26,999th overall.
Wow.
Yeah,
in the 26Ks.
Yes, into the 26Ks. So, mate, a big improvement, a big week last week. Very happy with how the sides are going. And look, we often share stories of hard knocks and hard luck, but it was a timely reminder for the Stallions and for anyone else out there who's listening and chooses to listen to this, but a really good luck story for the Stallions after a few... just a barrage of injuries to my side early on in the year, like all of us, mate. We all caught plenty, some worse than others. Keenan Palacio, my second front row forward, with Tino out long-term, or for the season, he was named to start, and I thought, all right, he can plug the second front row forward spot for 1 week while I get another look at others and deal with some other trade opportunities. Palacio gets ruled out, I think it was Friday afternoon, and just went, oh dear. I'm down a front rower. I'm going to need to change my trade plans. I had already used a boost, so I had to reverse my trade of Danny Levi to Appy Coruscant. Mate, Danny Levi came out and beat Appy by 23 points. More cash incoming. Appy scored like 44 or something. His cash generation has been stunted a fair bit. I got Josh Kerr in, came in as my second front row forward. Didn't get onto the second half because Max Plath got sin-binned about the time when Kerr would have been coming on in the first half, or normally would. So that impacted his minutes, but he scored a try late in the game, got through plenty of work in his time, had him.
How were you 49 minutes into that game when he was yet to set foot on the field?
I was a few bloke tins deep, mate. So I handled it. I had a very enjoyable, pleasurable Easter weekend. So frustrated, but okay. The other thing about that is at the same time, I played Bostock as my fourth CT dub.
You're already happy.
And I had Hammer, who I started the season with, on a tear. So I was like, you know what? I'll take that too, whatever. If it means Kerr gets 20. So, yeah, it's just a reminder to any of the listeners out there that in all the bad times in Supercoach, there are good times where the luck turns around and you've got to sit back and appreciate those times, because I sure as hell did on the weekend. Now, Spy, a good week to have this discussion, because we sit here each week and we preempt it pretty well before the start of the season. We're slow starters. We set the squad up with a bit more depth. And at 27K, still a hell of a long way to go, but heading in a better direction. And we sit here and go, it'll come. Team's placed well. It's not just a throwaway line. And we thought we'd use your team as an example today, sitting in 14K overall, and just to go through a bit of your team and why you're happy with it and why you think you're set up well moving forward. Despite a 14K rank, you go, still a bit further away. You go, that's okay at this time of year.
Yeah, and the other thing before I go through the side, I had a little look at some of the top sides. They just have 17 good players, so they're not staying up there. So I'd love to know.
There's no genuine cash gen across the 25-man squad.
I'd love to know, Adam Derisi, if one of your boys can figure out how many sides in that top 3,000 or 5,000 actually have like 8 non-players, because that would be interesting. It might be the case if you're like Desi, or you know, you're sitting 3,000th, you might actually be like 500th. It could be really interesting.
Ads would be in the middle of a Bulldogs board meeting at the moment. He'd have Gus Gould on one shoulder, Sraldo on the other shoulder, and I reckon he'd be tuning into our podcast in between him.
He's gone.
Boys, give me time.
Sorry, fellas. Things to do. Back to my side, though. So basically, as you said before, you can say all you want, oh, I'm feeling good and that. And to be fair, I never lie. I'm very honest on this. Like, if I've had a shit week, you know about it. If I have a good week, I'm on momentum, you know about it. But I did have a good look, so I'm just feeling really positive about things. The reason why, I started with Terrell May. I started with Galvin. So straight away, that's two trades saved.
Two trades that I've literally made to my team.
Yeah, and most would have, which is fine. I started with Bostock and played him on the weekend. I brought in Hammer. You beauty. Bought in Pierce Paul on Sunday. He scored 65 in base, made 60K. Yep. Bought in Curran 2 weeks ago. He's made 100K. He's now starting. I bought in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who is being Roger, but I got him before his price rise. So it's all cash gen. And it's just means I've locked in some blokes undervalued, I think, who I can hold on to for a while now. Also got Drewy Hutchinson, which a lot of us do. He's making some good coin at the moment. I had Karaz, who's making money, turned up a week ago, still in his rolling average. We've got Strange. Robson's made me cash. So I look through that. The two that have been the letdown, but not everyone's going to make you money, have been Dylan Brown. I really think's due for a breakout.
Yep.
He could stop grabbing his pocket when he's half through. and the other one was, can't remember, there's one other player I wasn't super happy with, but like overall, flying money-wise. And the challenge for me now, and anyone in that position, is what I do with that cash and cash. And like, it's all good to have the money.
You keep generating cash with trades. You start to play a bit more aggressive and go to, you know, guns, falling guns early.
Yeah, and then like, do I the trade I make with that cash? They've got to be a good player. If they're not scoring points, it's going to be a waste of time. But it's a good battle, a good spot to be in, I think.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And just to, I won't go on about it for too long, but same sort of thing, mate. Very happy with how my side is set up. The cash generation across the board, all going very well. The three Dolphins I mentioned before, Hammer, Bostock, Kerr, they all went up close to 100 grand each on the weekend and have a lot more money incoming there. You know, two of the concerning areas in my side in terms of cash dropping out that could have become somewhat catastrophic were Caelan Ponga and Nico Hines. They stemmed the flow.
Bang, bang.
Cash drop there. Ponga 170.
Nico was the other one. Nico that 94. Crucial.
Nico 94. So, you know, Ponga's ended up losing about 60K after that, you know, terrifying start. Nico Hines dropped a bit of cash, but the 94 in there now eases a little bit of concern there. So, mate, happy with how things are going and hopefully more green on the horizon.
On a side note, completely unrelated, played sport today, put Hydrolite in here after, made sense at work. I've then swapped it for a cup of tea. It does not smell good. It is not good, but I'm going to plug away because you'll do what you need to do.
For those listening at home, don't mix Hydrolite and tea. Who saw that one coming?
I mean, I did wash it. It just didn't work.
Guys, the SC Playbook Unlimited League. I've been a little bit lazy reading this one out on the podcast this season. Apologies. I do mean to touch on it each week. But leading the pack, Why Luai Why, coached by Natalie, is in front of our Unlimited League. If you do want to jump in that, it is still open up to listeners. The code is 743596. There's $1,000 up for grabs to whoever can knock off all the SC Playbook contributors in that. Beers and break even, $6,000 up for prize money in that one. The code for that is 339640. We will close them off at some stage, so get into those groups. Currently also ranked 1 and 2 overall for leagues. I don't know how that works. I don't know if we've just got gun averages. There's about 12,000 people in beers and break evens, about 6,000 in the SC Playbook one, but look, we'll take it.
Absolutely.
Guys, the SC Playbook subscription package gets you access to numerous premium articles every week on the SC Playbook website. Gets you into our WhatsApp group. There is late mail threads, team news, head-to-head specific threads for those who play head-to-head and not overall based in their game. Punting threads, contributor-only threads. I changed my trade plans with that Palacea news on Friday. I was able to put my updated trade plans in the chat there, skippers, all that sorts of good stuff. The full unlimited group major prize. You can get the entire money for that as a subscriber if you win it. To subscribe, do so. Head to scplaybook.com.au. Head to the subscribe tab in the menu on our site. On today's show, we will be talking our topic for the show to open up how we're managing our front row forward position moving ahead with not many coaches really having a playable front row forward on their bench. It's just getting, it's almost going from bad to worse, particularly with injuries to key players like Tino, Payne Haas. Just not a good place at the moment. So how are we going to deal with that moving ahead? Team list Tuesday, talking points. Chance Nickel-Cookstad returns. A bit of a domino effect there at the Warriors. Hot topics for the week. Taylan May is the most sold player. Do we agree with this? Hot tip, I do not. We drop our round 5 trade and skipper plans, listener questions. What to do with Zach Labor? A big one this week as well after 2 stinker weeks. But Spy, let's get stuck into it. And mate, we will start with front row forward. It's a wasteland. And it came, the topic idea came up from a question from Dean. Apologies with the questions this week. Got caught up in the Easter festivities. Big 24 hours. Didn't get the questions out on social. So I threw to the SC Playbook WhatsApp group for the questions on today's show. Dean asked, what do you recommend as a plan to deal with Sam Hughes? Seems like he's going to be an auto emergency nightmare all year. Would you trade him out if it meant wasting a trade on front row forward, which is a wasteland? Now, first thing about that, Spy, is that Sam Hughes, we'll get to team this Tuesday shortly, but Sam Hughes was named to start. But for argument's sake, because we haven't seen much, certainly super coach quality for him this year, they do have some forwards out at the moment. He could play 20 minutes and score 13 points again. He could get moved to the bench come game day. You can't sit there just because he's been named to start this week and go, all right, our front row forward problems have been solved, because that's very ambitious. Hopefully they are, and he plays 50 minutes and kills it. But, mate, I think a lot of people out there will own, say, Terrell May, and then it'll be partnered with maybe another half-decent sort of mid-range front row forward that's ticking along okay. Another one might be Fanua Blake, who a lot went to in recent weeks as well. But a lot of people will be carrying a bench combination of Sammy Hughes, Farmer Silly, who's on the extended bench for the Doggies. Even if he was starting, you wouldn't want to be playing him. Liam Henry, who's on the bye next week, you add in there, you know, he's very playable, but Fisher Harris is back for the Panthers this week. And then Xavier Willison, who was one of the most traded-in players this week as a cheapy front row forward, he's been named, sorry, not named for the Broncos this week. So lots of people are struggling. If there's one injury or one starting front rower on the bye or suspended, basically, Spy, what's the plan for you at front row forward? Because it's all good and well when you can get away with two front rowers, but if one of them goes down or something comes where you can't play them, it's not going to be easy.
My true honest answer is I've just not thought about it and prayed to God that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
the actual answer is probably play Sam Hughes. If it's a one-week injury to, let's just say, Terrell misses a week with a head knock, whatever it may be, or your other bloke. I'll just use my example. I've got Cotter.
Yeah.
They both don't have a bye for a while, so that's great.
Yep, hopefully okay.
But if one of them misses, I'd probably just play Hughes and hope he gets 20.
Yeah, like last just 4 rounds, 13, 23, 29, 31. In that instance, you'd just cop the 25.
I'd just cop it. And anything more than a week, I'd have to use a trade. So I think that's just where I stand. If you're sitting with, there's probably people who have a poor bench, a decent front row, and then another one who isn't going all that crash hot. That's when I think you might have to generate 100 grand just to upgrade that second starter. And then deal with it from there. Obviously, if you're doing that, try find someone that doesn't have a buyer for a while. But I mean, yeah, I think the answer to the question really is if you're semi happy with your front row, they're doing a job, just you're going to have to cop the Sam Hughes AE.
You sit and hope there for a while until something better
comes up. Obviously, if, like in the case of last week, I was really keen to get Liam Henry while he's still quite cheap. He's up another 70K now or something. I'm not going to do that anymore.
I wanted him as well, but there were just so many pressing buys there last week.
Yeah, so if there was a Liam Henry type who you thought could make 150K, knock out 40 to 45, then I'd be happy to grab him 100%, sit him on the bench, you beauty. One less stress, but otherwise, yeah, it's the old just don't look, pretend it's not going to happen and deal with it if it does.
strong advice, mate. Look, I'm not too indifferent to that. So Terrell May and Josh Kerr there at the moment. Terrell May is going to be going nowhere fast for the Stallions. You know, there's potential to be a season-long keeper. Josh Kerr, 420K. Look, I really do believe that the Max Plas Simbining, just as he was about to come on, impact his minutes big time on the weekend. So, look, he's got a break even of 13, made 70K on the weekend. He also doesn't need many minutes because he comes on and goes so hard. He has attack in him. He's got tackle busts in him, offloads in him. So planning on just those two. We'll obviously have a decision to make on Josh Kerr in probably 2 weeks, potentially 3 weeks, when he likely peaks in price. But if you can average that sort of 40, anywhere between 40 and 50 in the meantime, hopefully more, I'll just plug him there until I really need to trade him. Same thing. If it was like a one-week suspension or injury to either of those guys, I'd probably just have to play Sam Hughes. Name to start this week. If he does start, you can cop that. Like, it's far more promising, but I still wouldn't expect much.
They did say they'd build him in as well.
They did.
Maybe he gets himself up to that 35 mark, which is fine. You can cop that.
Yeah.
Back up.
So, yeah, that's the way it is. But Josh Kerr said, we'll have a decision to make with him, hopefully at over 500K in a couple of weeks' time, with some really good cash in the kitty for that one, whether it's to someone, a mid-ranger who looks okay, or whether it's going to a fallen gun like Joe Tarpany, like whoever it might be.
Whoever it may be, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, even Fanua Blake, who started the season so well and he has a few tries to his name, he was like the must-have bloke. He's looking so good. He's currently averaging less than he did last year.
I still stand by the front row of, now that Tino's gone, Haas is hurt, I'm very happy with, like, looking at May and Cotter in my side. I'm like, that's beautiful.
Sweet.
They're not going to do anything crazy. May might, but May might. If Cotter can just average his 55, you know what, I'll take it. That'll do.
And if at some stage, and it'll happen at some stage, I hope it does, we get somewhere anywhere from 200 to 350K who via injuries, form, whatever it might be, plays themselves into a solid, you know, 35 to 40, 45-minute role and can plug away and score 40 to 45 on your bench as a backup front row forward, sweet, we'll nip it up then.
Yep. And the other thing I'd like to do, and just hasn't been needed yet, but I would love to downgrade Cotter. He's about 550K. If I could get someone at, you know, 400 or so to do that job of 45 points.
Yep.
And
happy to do it.
That'd be lovely. Upgrades elsewhere. The other one would be Cotter to like a Payne Haas. If I can generate the cash once he's back, that would be nice.
The other one, Spy, and probably should have started the it wasn't relevant to everyone because not as much for non-owners at the moment, but Josh Curran. getting hopefully dual front row to our next
that.
Week. I know. It's just massive.
Yeah. Which means I can then flip. Anyone can flip Curran down to front row. Mm. And then ideally, in my case, I've got Cotter. I can sell Cotter on for a good back rower.
Well, the idea will be between like Jules and whatnot, being able to trade out Sammy Hughes or Farmer Silly or, you know, whether it's Ben Trebojevic, you do it via Jules and switch like Burbo or whoever it might be down to CT Dub when a cheapie emerges, more likely to emerge in the second row or certainly at centre wing. And if we can get Curran up to front row forward, I'm hoping. So the Jules come round six, which is obviously next week. Are we expecting those Jules to lock in?
I think it's after.
Start of the round or after
think
the round?
I don't actually know. Just from memory, it was after.
I'm on the Supercoach podcast with official Supercoach podcast Thursday. So we'll clarify that on that one, get an answer to it. But either way, Curran should, we think, be getting dual front row centre forward.
Sounds that way.
It's not locked in. Him getting named on the edge this week with Preston out won't help it, but
I think the crowd might win that one for us.
Yeah, the Roo's voice is pretty loud, so I reckon
I'm enjoying his his agenda push for Curran. He's just doing some fun stuff with it.
When he wants something, he gets it. Spy, moving on to team list Tuesday and the major pointers from that this week. Cameron Munster returns for the Storm. No Joe Chan again. Sean Bloor keeps his spot. Look, it's all going well at the moment. I'm not in. It was a hand infection that saw him miss round three before the bye. I'm not so convinced that it's entirely. Could be wrong, but hand infection related, where there's a bit of form to it as well. I know he had a nice try assist for Pappy before the bye, but yeah, look, it's not ideal for that big cash generation that is incoming.
I'm going to have a look at, while you go through this, I'll see if he's playing Reggie's this week.
Check it out, because he wasn't naming the entire squad. Yeah. Like, you think surely at least he's on the extended bench, but not ideal. Anyway, one to keep an eye on for now. Ben Takura, the absolute behemoth at the Brisbane Broncos, named on the bench for them this week. So I went, okay, cool. I wonder who he's come in for. Xavier Willison, out of the squad entirely. I'm sure news will come of that, but
he's something happened, yeah.
Had to
something
be
minor.
From some sort, which he was one of the most traded in players this week. And as I said, I mentioned around front row forward, bench spots, Willison, who would all of a sudden come into some half okay minutes with Payne Haas out of the squad. So if you want to play him or buy him this week, put a line through that one. Where are we at now? The Sydney Roosters. Lindsay Collins is back, which sends Terrell May to the bench. That's okay. Spy Angus Crichton, 409K, 74 break even, starting on the edge. Sitili Tupanua benched. Obviously, you're not going to jump on anytime soon. In a very small sample size on the weekend, Crichton came on and ran some really good lines against the Panthers. And if in a couple weeks' time he can return to being a 65 to 80 minute player, and it's a big if, but get back to anything near his best football. Thank you very much.
Did you say Smithies to Crichton for $0?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, good. I didn't realise he was starting. I missed that. That's great news.
Yeah. At the Newcastle Knights, Jackson Hastings is in. Tyson Gamble is out. A lot going on in the Knights halves at the moment. Good for Caelan Ponga, I think, Spy, just because Hastings and Cogger both really good at putting their fullback into and key players
perfect
into space.
Perfect for
so,
KP.
Love this for KP. Also at the Knights, Dylan Lucas played centre for Dane Gagai on the weekend, who was out injured. Lucas is 18th man. Gagai's back. I think this all bar locks in 80 minutes for Kai Pearce-Paul, or in the Spy's words, Kai Paul Pearce. At the Bunnies, Isaac Thompson replaces Alex Johnston. This is a bit of a shame for Jacob Gagai owners, hoping he might come in and get a bit of cash growth playing there. At the Warriors, Charleston Hull-Klukstad back at fullback. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck moves back to centre. No shock. No Tane Torpicki in the extended squad either. Regardless, I don't know if he's playing this Wales Cup this week following the concussion the week prior, but Spy, ramifications of Charleston back. Bad news for Torpicki, who we don't get another cash growth out of while he's playing New South Wales Cup. Roger back to centre, we expected that. Great for Sean Johnson. Great for Dallin Watene-Zelezniak. A lot comes of this.
Massive for Sean, yes, but Zelezniak absolutely feeds off Chansey there. And for the Warriors, big for them. Mm. Like, I watched it, even Roger last week, as he's so good, obviously. Tackle buster, defusal, defence, incredible footballer, but the cohesion of the Warriors all centres round challenge. It took some time to build up. We know combinations aren't built in a day. That they've got that combination with challenge. Yep. So that right edge, let's watch it hum this week. Rocco Berry running that out in line. I cannot wait. Yep.
Very, very exciting. Big watch on a number of players. There's Shane Dallin still averaging about 17. We don't get him at much of a discount, but that's all right. Big one there, though. Luke Metcalf out long term. Poor bugger had won that spot fair and square. He'd been brilliant for them and gone to the back end of the season. Fractured leg, I think it was, or something.
Bugger.
So Tamari Martin has beaten out Chanel Harris Tevita for the 5'8 slot. Harris Tevita was dirt cheap. I think he was like 238K or something. So
yeah, he was.
So that's a shame because he would have been a really good go there as a cheapie. Tamari Martin, 363K, dual 5'8 fullback, gets that spot. Look, he averaged 80 minutes in six or seven or so games last year in a pretty good Warriors side. Not someone you'd be getting on anytime soon, but a close watch because at the price, he's very talented. He'll now be feeding Roger on the left wings, left centre, I should say.
Don't mind it.
Yeah.
Obviously not at this stage, but close watch. Maybe won't do enough to warrant selection in 5'8", but we'll see.
James Fisher-Harris returns for the Panthers. Liam Henry, 334K, negative 7, break even. I suppose my question here, Henry, who could have been a nice little upgrade option for probably not Sam Hughes now because he's starting, but like a Farmacilli, or if you had a dud front row forward on your bench, whoever it might be, is Henry still a buy at 334K or not?
Just looking at him, he actually could be. You're taking a punt that he... Mm. So the first two games he scored 36 and 35 in 34 and 30 minutes. And he scored 55 and 50 the last 2 weeks. Beast. But he only played 42 and 39 minutes. So it just depends what they do with the fish there. Kind of... What's his break even? You kind of got to do it now.
Negative 7.
So it's either now or never. You're taking a punt. But I don't hate it because they obviously have wraps on him. You want to get in someone who's just going to be that backup player or start a starter would be bold, but backup front rower at 330, I think you could do worse.
Let's say you're going Farmacilli to him, 100K.
I don't think I want to spend 100K to do it. I want that 100K elsewhere.
A week ago, you well played.
Yep.
I just think with Fisher-Harris returning, minutes to be a bit lesser.
He could easily make another 100K, but you probably won't play him ideally. We'll get to it later when we talk trades, but I think any cash you can get together for upgrades elsewhere,
there's pretty key. Lockie Galvin, 2 week suspension of the Galvinator, in the words of Desmond Creek. What a gun. Look, 2 week suspension, not ideal for us, but we'll deal with it. Bud Sullivan comes in at 5'8". Latu Fainu, rookie star, another halves rookie star at the Tigers, comes in. Watch on him in coming weeks, just see how he goes. But obviously with Galvin coming back in a few weeks, we'd imagine it'll probably be him and Caesar. At the Titans, Philip Sammy injured. Lofi Khan Pereira dropped. Harley Smith Shields and Jojo Fifita come in on the wings. Not overly supercoach relevant for the time being. Zach Hosking with a concussion, a failed HIA on the weekend, is out. Atta Mariotta named on the edge for the Raiders. I'd almost expect to see Simi Sasagi or Big Red Corey Horse will play on the edge come game day. Maybe not. Could be Mariota, but didn't completely make sense to me.
Yep.
We'll get to Hosking a little bit later in Hot Topics and what to do with him. Ryan Madison on the edge for the Eels. Bryce Cartwright, he's considered a week-to-week basis in terms of whether he's good to go.
Maybe not far away.
Yeah, looking at that one. Should have got this the other way early, but did a four-hour podcast today. Long day, so 8-hour drive yesterday from the coast. If I'm sound scat, it's because I am.
So I tried to jump in and run the show for you and you G-eyed me out of the way, so you do it, mate.
I thought I'd done all right at this point, but I just feel the grasp of the English language falling out of
slipping.
Me.
Slipping. But whenever I'm tired, I forget how to speak as well.
We'll be all right, mate. Kelmar Tuolungi is what I was getting at from all of that. Named on the bench, not going to be the cheapy mid-range 2RF that we were potentially hoping for when we saw that injury to Bryce Cartwright. We'll get on some other stuff now. Done with Teamless Tuesday. Guys, if you've been sleeping in your parents' granny flat, you've been working your butt off all year and you're sitting on a small fortune as a result, you're finding yourself sick of waking up dusty on Super Sunday to watch the footy with the Rellos and all the distractions that come with it, you're thinking maybe it's time you dip your toe into the property market. Most people out there think there's no chance of being able to afford a property, but it's far more achievable than you actually think it is, whether it's an investment property or your own home. If you're interested in finding out a bit more, whether it's to buy now or if you're planning to buy down the track in the future sometime, reach out to Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. Usually, it'll cost you $129, but because you mentioned this playbook, this podcast, mention SC Playbook and it's completely free of charge, free consult. To do so, flick them a message on Instagram at patandgeorge_SCW or you can give them a buzz on 02-9521-1611. No matter where in Australia you're based. Paddy, he was 113th last week. Thank God he's dropped about 400th or 500th overall this week. He's Luke Brooks for Dally M. That's lost a bit of steam. So a huge win for all of us Spy ahead of Paddy's next appearance.
Could be a tough year. He's hit the wall early.
Yeah.
Can he rebound? I guess only time will tell.
Well, he captained Garrick on the weekend. I'm like, who went well? I mean, I captained Tommy Chaboy, which beat me there, so fair play.
Spy's wife did as well, and I was filthy at her.
Yeah. Spy, let's get into hot topics for this week. Looking around the most traded in and out players for Supercoach Round 5. Number one, Blaise Talangi, 204K. His basement price, negative 55 break even. He's available at CT Dub only. I would imagine if the updates come to positions, you need three games there.
He'll be 5'8", yeah.
But so if he gets in round five, that'd be second game at 5'8". And then round six, if it comes in after round six, he'll get the update to dual 5'8", CT Dub. If it comes in before round six,
you get dudded.
Yeah.
But you're not dropping Galvin, so you probably won't win the centres anyway.
Yeah. True. Good point. Kai, Pierce, Paul Pierce, whatever you want to call
KPP.
KPP. Save. It makes life a lot easier for the NBA/NRL fans out there.
Yeah, I do love both. It's nearly playoffs, so yeah.
441K, negative two break even. You bought him last week. I mentioned last week that I had some more pressing trades. Wanted to see him go around again. Look, I'm keen on him this week. The Dylan Lucas getting named at 18th man is reassuring. He's averaging, got his numbers up there, Spy?
54, but that's not in 80 minutes. So he got,
yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
Round one, he played 40 odd minutes.
80 minute games, he's had three. He went 43, 67, 65 with zero attacking stats. So he last,
they're coming, aren't they?
Last week he based 65. Basically scored 65 just working hard. I loved owning him. Oh,
he's just looks likely, doesn't he?
Looks like
tackle
it.
Breaking. There'll be tackle bust. There'll be offloads.
You'd think he'll get better and better. Three offloads the last 2 weeks. That could get bigger and better. Hasn't found a combination yet, but Hastings is good. It depends. I assume Hastings probably plays that sort of first receiver role, ducking to the left, because you'll find the way Newcastle play, Ponga won't really find KPP because he's more out the back, or if he's flat, he goes long. So it's probably more Hastings that could help him, but don't need it. If he's going to score 65 a week, thank you very much.
I can see KPP as he builds in confidence, builds into match – not that he looks like he needs the match fitness because he's very athletic, fit bugger as it is, but I can see him just poking that head through and popping the offload to KP who trails.
Hope so.
Quite often, I can.
Once big KP comes back.
I'll be honest. Look, I'm keen to get him in this week. I can see Pierce Paul. You've rattled me. You've got me thinking about it, mate.
I know.
Because three times before the show, you said Paul Pierce. I will be buying him. I think he just looks very safe, playing 80 minutes with big base. There will be attack coming. He's in a great spot, left edge of the Knights. You talk about it every week. I wouldn't be shocked if he was to revert back to the bench at any point in 2, 3, 4 weeks' time, if he has some lesser weeks. Look, let's face it, the Knights aren't setting the world a lot. He's been okay. He's been solid. He hasn't been anything great. They've got Lucas there who they're pretty high on.
Yep.
But on the upside of him, he has keeper potential.
Keeper potential, cheap steal, low break even, defended the Warriors' gun edge last week without any real dramas. Chance wasn't there, so it does make a difference. Game before, Dylan Lucas came on the right edge. Frizzell went middle, so it's just all stacking up for him. And you know what? If something happens in a few weeks, you deal with it.
The signs.
I've got way less concerns than that stuff happening. Yeah.
Spy Justin Olam, 423K, negative 40 break even. He plays the Dolphins and then the Dragons. My thoughts on Justin Olam, with a negative 40 break even, you're not going to go wrong. He's going to make money. However, we also had a very similar situation with a one Zed Labart a couple of weeks ago, which didn't exactly pan out for owners. We'll get to him shortly. Justin Olam has never been Supercoach relevant, and he's not been Supercoach relevant in a far better NRL team in the Melbourne Storm over the years. His last four season averages...
What are you trying to say about the Tigers?
They're not the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, fair enough.
last four season averages 41, 51, 56 and 45. In 2023 with the Storm, granted one of his worst years in a long time, he played 15 games and he had one score over 54 points. 12 of them were sub 50. You're not going to go wrong with the buy because with a break even like that, you're going to make money. That being said, I'm happy enough with my CT dub. At the very least, I've got players that are all making cash there. A lot of us will bring in Blaze Talangi this week with his negative 55 break-even at basement price. I just think the other side to it is that with Olam, he is a new club. He might be used differently. He could get more attacking opportunities.
He does look healthier. So he said, noted last year he was carrying something and did struggle to be explosive, which probably makes sense as to why he couldn't make the first grade side. He's fit and healthy, just purely from a numbers point of view. If you plug it in, if he say gets 35 this week, which is so likely, it's going to happen more often than not, he'll make you 65K or so, which is it's decent, it's good.
Good going, yeah.
But the week after, his break-even's back up to like 28, 30. So that could be it. In saying that, if he goes 80 again, thank you very much. So I don't mind the punt. I just said it's low risk. You can see how he looks.
Good just, games to come, Dolphins, Dragons. Yeah,
just be aware, in 2 weeks you might be selling again. But I don't mind that. Early in the season, I've done that a couple of times now. Don't make a habit of it, but I think if you want to take a little...
And I think, look, if you're battling with cash generation a bit, you missed out on a few good cheapies or a few of these guys, you know, I need to make cash, Olam's going to make cash. As you said, if he does score well in these 2 weeks, it could be 200K plus. So by no means is it a bad buy. Just for my personal side, Justin Olam has been an average at best Supercoach player for a long time. Two games isn't going to change my mind on that, particularly playing at the Tigers. Hopefully they continue the form, but we'll see. Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, number fourth most traded in, 692K, dual CT dub fullback, the shining light of the Cooma Stallions. Negative one break even. Look, I'm assuming we both think he's still a decent buy.
Well, yes, but... Oh, my computer's froze. Who's obviously decent matchup this week. Got the Tigers. Anything could happen there. Not quite sure of what the Tigers will produce 3 weeks in, but it's just not really working for me. I'm back now.
What are you after, mate?
Just who he's playing. Then he plays Brisbane, Para. So, look, I'm not so convinced he's an amazing buy this week. I think it was last week, obviously, a definite.
Like, he made 100K, didn't he? 91K.
Yeah, he's already made 91K. You could buy him now. Could be selling him next week as
well. My second question. Mm. Could he be a keeper?
He could be, yes.
Do you think he will be?
Oh, what a question. Mm. He did look good, busy. I'll answer it like this. I think he could be a keeper. But if he gets himself up to 800K, bye-bye. We'll bye-bye, for sure.
I feel similar. So neg one, break even...
750K next week, or 720 if he's a bit poorer. Still pretty happy to probably sell him around that 720, 750.
We wouldn't sell him next week because he's got a 112 in his rolling average, unless he comes in and goes 30 this week.
After next week, go easy.
After next week.
2 weeks to go, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got Brisbane next week, so I'm not necessarily buying him for that. No, I'm not so convinced. I'd nearly look elsewhere.
As it stands... I think the beauty of it is, like as it stands, I will be looking at cashing out in 2 weeks' time, realistically probably to Valentine Holmes. Although I think the Cowboys do have some tougher games coming up, so we'll need to reassess that. Potentially a downgrade to Greg Marju as he returns if the Knights are looking good. Mm. But what we can do is, if he goes well this week, regardless, he's going to have the 112 and his rolling average. So the break-even isn't going to be high. We can hold him for the Broncos-Suncorp game, see what he does against one of the best teams in the competition.
Then you'll know.
If he then scores well against them, you just go, all right, we could have a season-long keeper on our hands. But
like, it wouldn't shock me if he keeps killing it. I'd just be a little bit wary if I was then, if you've got good trades lined up this week, do you get Hammer? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't.
I guess it's hard to consider because I already own him. But yeah. I'm sort of 50-50 on it. Not totally against it. I just don't think it's a massive slam dunk Could be, but you might be using it for a week or two. He might not score that well 2 weeks in a row, and you might go, that was a waste of two trades. So maybe.
Spy, Tommy Flegler, 531K. Look, let's not spend a lot of time on him because we've spoken a lot about him in recent weeks, but 26, and just because front row forward is relevant still, but 26 break even.
Goodbye, I reckon. I can cut it short. Yeah. It's goodbye.
He's had a try. Yeah. He's had a try and a try assist so far this season, averaging 51 minutes per game.
Offloading, showing a bit of attack. Yeah, I like him.
I think he's especially if you're carrying...
Great draw as
if you're
well.
Carrying one good front rower and you've got quite a weak second one, he's not out of price range yet. He'll do a job. Might not make a squillion dollars, but he'll do a job for you. Last one on the buy list, number 10, Sean Johnson, 662K. He's got a break even of 74, so it's not urgent, but, you know, people with Nico Hines at halfback and maybe a poor halfback and they don't really want to play them this week, whatever it might be. He's goal kicking again. He gets Chance back. 662K. He's cheap for what we know he can do.
You don't have to talk me into SJ. You know that. 100%. Goal kicking back. Ran a bit last week. If the situation dictates that you need a halfback, get him in, baby.
Yeah.
Just quickly on him, I'll just check because this is where my reservations came from. I'll back it with some numbers. If he goes 45 and 45, he might only. It looks like he'll only make $28,000.
Yep.
And you get 245s. What if he goes worse than that? So if you want to buy him, buy him if you think he's going to continue to score 70 plus, not for money. Yeah.
Because he can score, he will have a 20 on him on any given week. Like it could happen.
Yeah.
SJ, Bunnies, that's not scary at the moment. Manly,
oh, it's good. It's
Manly,
good.
Who knows what Manly are? They're week to week at the moment. Dragons, Titans. Oh, it's a good draw.
It's so good.
SJ, 662K, dropped a lot.
If Cleary was out,
he's dropped 130K this season, and he's also not been goal kicking. So,
if Cleary was out another month, I would love to slot him in. But
yeah.
As someone who I held Nico, you did as well. Mm. Also, I think people are going to want Nico back soon. Maybe you buy SJ while you see how Nico goes. He's got a buy this week. You see how he plays out for the next couple of weeks, and maybe in 3 weeks you can then go SJ back to Nico. But Cleary's coming back. That's the only thing. It's just that halfback logjam.
Yeah, it's it like.
But if you're going, which halfback do I get this week? SJ, 100%.
If it's this week,
love it.
I still think Cleary after the bye, Cleary Hines combination is going to be where you want it.
Yep.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Taylan May, big talking point this week. 448K, break even of 76. Panthers have the bye next week. He's got a 3-round average of 37. Most sold player. What do you think?
Been tempted to sell all week, but I just think people could regret this if they do it. I'm happy to cop a little price loss of like 50K again, just to see, because first 2 weeks he scored really well without doing a whole lot. He was close to scoring numerous times, like blade of grass stuff. World Cup Challenge, he was awesome.
Both Parramatta and the Broncos games, there was a backline injury. They didn't have a backline player on the bench or a utility to cover it. I think the Eels, it might have been Kelmer Tuolungi who went out there. And
we mentioned last
week. And I said Tungo just went. They went to Tungo all game.
Taylor May could have just sat down and tied his shoes that game. He didn't have to do
and
anything.
And then it was, I believe, the same against the Broncos because
Walsh got hurt. Cobbo to the back. Pierre Kura, back rower, went out and same thing. Sit down, tie your shoes. We don't need you, mate.
27 against the Roosters. All right, it was an off night, but there were genuine excuses for the other 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Chooks are a good side. It's not like so. Let's see who's he got coming up. Manly by Tigers, Cowboys, South, Bulldogs. Like, it's pretty good.
Their draw to start the season was Melbourne, Para, Broncos, Roosters. Like, it gets easier. I just think a bloke like Taylor May, who plays tackles, who'll have a decent work rate, great power and base, in the best team in the competition.
Got an offload
I don't
of
see him as a headache at all. Like, I'm not worried about him.
The only reason I was tempted to sell him, I'll tell you why now, is because you could go down to Blaze Talangi and make like 250K and just go boom, which allows you to do some really good stuff with like a Smithies tour for feeder. So that line of thinking, I'm like, maybe you do it if you've got no one else to sell. But I'm with you. Points are coming. Even if he drops to 380, he's going to score a 90 or 100, which will bump him back up to 500 when you need him. So I'm stronghold for me, but I can just understand that luring temptation.
Yeah.
Do it if you've got a good reason to help your side out elsewhere. If you're just doing it for the sake of it because you think he's not going well, then don't do it.
If you see T-Dub's awesome and he's your only ticket to Blaze Talangi.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like, probably, the only way I'd do it. Yeah.
Ben Jaboyevich, third most traded out player, 310K, break even of 37, played 50 minutes last week, 61 the week before. Penrith this week, Warriors the week after. What do you reckon?
Just minutes.
Pain in the ass, isn't it?
36 last week in 50 minutes. Just work rate. Round one, he killed it. Also, at that price, I really want to hold just to see
Dual
what
position,
happens.
310K. The break even's 37, so it's not like he's going to drop 30K.
It's the same answer as before. If he's your only ticket to Blaze, go for gold.
Yeah.
Don't mind it, but I'm just going to sit him on my bench, not play him, and just hope he can find. If they can get his minutes back up, we don't quite know what the plan there is.
Still no Josh Schuster to be seen, so that's always not getting decent minutes still.
We know he's got it in him, but yeah, just those minutes are a concern.
I'm happily holding. The dual position really helps.
Yeah.
But, geez, he's tough to play at the
moment. You'll find he's super handy if you hold on to him or a Salmon.
Yeah.
Just have one of those in there because you'll go to trade a second row and you'll go, oh, I can suddenly get a centre. I want Valentine Holmes or vice versa. So frustrating, though.
Number 10, Joey. Actually, let's do Zach Hosking quickly. Number 6 most traded, 613K, 98 break even. I haven't seen any official word on how long Elliot Whitehead's out for, but Hosking could come back from his head knock as an 80-minute edge back rower. Do you think he's a sell?
I don't. I think I'd want to see then next week when he's back, see if Elliot's playing.
We should get word on what Elliot Whitehead's go is. Mm. You know, we'll find that out. We'll drop it in the...
My thing there is it's easy to look at the break even of 98 and go, oh, he might lose 40K. What if he scores 98 next week? He's done it twice already.
He's been killing it. It's just like...
So, no, I wouldn't sell him is the answer.
Again, there might be people going, Ben Trbojevic to 2RF and getting in Talangi for him. Sweet. That's okay, but... Talangi at bottom dollar with that break even is an exception to most of these avoids.
Imagine also if you dropped Hosking for Talangi. Hosking scores 100 next week and Talangi doesn't play. Like, that could happen. So I think if you've got Hosking, just give him at least another week, see how he looks. He looked so good last week again.
Number 10, Joey Lusick, 417K. He made a grand total of 104K, break even of 58, back-to-back 30s. Brendan Hands back on the bench. Told you so, Spite.
Made 104. He's made it. He's done. Nowhere else to go. Past 10.
Back to 60 minutes. Bench hooker on. Needs attack.
No bench hooker this week. He only came in because Cartwright was laid out. So they were looking
His
at
His hand's
it.
Not on the bench this week.
No. We're back, baby. We're back. I'll check New South Wales Cup as well to see if he's name
there. He might get 32 this week. Danny Levi was the answer all along.
Maybe. He can't keep scoring, although the way he's going.
Danny Levi, don't doubt him.
Are you on him for top try scorer?
Really?
A million to one?
Would have been paying about $2.50.
So serious thoughts on Lusick. Probably 40K short of what I really hope for, but 110K or so is handy. Also in a position now to do something with him. Maybe go to like a cheese over Origin without having to do much. So that was sort of the plan all along to bridge him.
Cheese
is lighting up. He's getting better. Trust me there. Hopefully 80 minutes this week and we'll see what he does.
I don't see the need. Who would people be trading him to this week? So break him 58. He's not going to plummet in cash. If he gets 30, he drops a little bit. But
Brayley's starting up at Newcastle. See his minutes. Could be a little downgrade coming shortly.
Yeah, give him a week, because if he comes out and plays 80, Jags and attacking stat, right, game back on.
He's got attack in him. Tigers, their attack inside the 20 was poor on Sunday. Tigers made him look silly. Something could happen this week. Just let's see how it goes.
Spy trades and skippers for round 5. Preface this by saying, in particular, skippers. Heavy rainfalls predicted for Sydney and Newcastle and surrounding regions on Friday. For the few days leading in, I believe, but potentially very heavy falls on Friday. Something of 40 to 80 millimetres. Hit us. What are you thinking? And you got some loose shit here. I know what you're going to say.
Well, to answer my captain question, I've got to tell you my trades, but let's do it in reverse. My captain this week is going to be one S Drinkwater.
Oh.
Against the Titans, Sunday Arvo, not 80 mil. I'm very tempted on Kalen still regardless, but they're literally predicting potentially 2-3 inches Friday, which is 90 odd
if
mil.
If it's dry in Townsville on Sunday, like lock and load drinky.
Mm. So pretty excited about that. Trade-wise, I've got two options. One I've already thrown out because I've done it the other day, but I'll talk you through what I was talking to a few people about today. I was having a look at KP is coming back, definitely. It was always the plan. Mm. He just lost about 80K less than I hoped he would, but live and learn,
can't
whatever.
All spies,
can't get them all. If I then went Jamin Salmon to Blaze to Lungi, it would actually allow me to go Lussie to Api Coruscant by $3,000. But I'm very reluctant to spend $1.2 million on the hooking position when I've already got Robson just doing a job there. The reason for that is if I do option 2, which I'll talk you through, I'm going to have a fair bit of coin to play with to upgrade Smithies to Eli Katoa or Smithies to a Fifita, that sort of stuff. I'm going to need that money pretty soon. I don't want to tie it up top in my side. I just don't want to do it. Never been a big fan of it. Appy's obviously awesome, but I think it's more of a case of choose Appy or choose Robson. That's kind of where I stand. I just want one good hooker. So option 2 is, and this is where I'm not leaning, this is almost certainly what I'm doing, is KP and Drinkwater in, Tommy Turbo and Latrell out. Just double trade. I've talked fullback roulette.
The old fullback rotation policy.
I'm going to commit to it one more time before I scrap it. No, hopefully it'll come off this time.
Jeez, it's back. It's been it's worked wonders for you in the past. It's backfired this time.
Yeah, well, I've only done it once, so let's see. Small
you've never
sample.
Fullback rotation.
Oh no, this year, sorry. KP was the backfire because Trell didn't do what I thought he'd do. He just looked solid, but he didn't have a try assist or a try in 2 weeks, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Also got binned. You may not have heard me talk about that in recent weeks. In terms of Tommy, goes into Penrith in the pouring rain most likely. Then the Warriors, who I just rate so much defensively this year. And what KP has, he turned up against the Warriors, he was too quick for him. They actually couldn't deal with his raw speed off the mark. Tommy's not that. He's more a power-based guy. I just don't know where the space comes in the next 2 weeks for Tommy. He could plummet in cash. My concern around Turbo is his run after that is pretty good.
Titans, Eels, Raiders, Dolphins.
Might fullback roulette back to him. maybe. But Manly were horrible. I know they're going to be better than that. But we were talking off air as well. New combinations at Manly. They had Brad Parker last year running that hard line. They had Schuster at times, a ball player in there. With respect to Luke Brooks, I've said it before, he's not that ball playing, go to the line, create space type of fella. He's a ball running defender. That's his strengths.
Yeah.
Tommy's not seeing that space on the left edge anymore. It's gone. Yep. Benny Turbo impacts that as well. Slightly different player to back rowers of the past.
Hey, we do want Schuster back on the left edge.
Oh, it's great for Tommy. Do. Yeah, 100%.
Bring Schuster back.
Schuster's combo with Tommy's brilliant.
Yeah, bring Schuster
back. And you can knock Schuster all you want, but his ability to do that stuff is unmatched. Yeah, he's so
up. He's good
at it.
Certainly any back row I've ever seen.
What it does allow him to do, if he had a good run over the next 2 weeks, I wouldn't contemplate selling Tommy. When you've got Penrith Warriors.
Yeah, couldn't be a worse.
Very game. Wet, and Drinky's got a dry match against the Titans. I think he looks really good. He's lifted his base. He's running a lot. He's offloading. I've said it earlier, I just want to back myself. That's what I think I'm doing. I think it's going to go off. I might captain him. Just want to do it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I don't like it. I understand it. And the reason being is, and look,
check Drinky's run before you say anything.
No, I know. I started with KP and Turbo, and I haven't even considered trading either of them. Like, what, Turbo's averaging 69 and been okay. He's been a whisker from being a lot more. Ponga, I was never trading out even with the high break even. As the short-term play, I get it. I fullback rotation policy, I like. I don't like it this early in the season when you've got two gun fullbacks. I'm like, I have other shit in my team to sort out. And it's like, I don't want to be wasting, not wasting, but I know you're chasing points with the better matchups. But what do we keep saying, like, early in the year? Defences are better. Like, there's less points involved. I like it later in the year when teams are depleted and the fixtures and the head-to-head matchups become, all right, they're going to beat this team 40-10 sort of thing, and the fullback can go 150-plus. Just a lot harder at this stage.
Yeah. Have you watched the Titans lately?
The Cowboys' draw isn't that good. So they got Para next week at Combank.
Titans, Para, Sharks.
Sharks. Eels at Combank in Para. Sharkies at Shark Park into Penrith.
Penrith, obviously hard. Keep reading. Dolphins, Titans again, South, Tigers.
We're getting
Tigers.
To 2025 by this point.
Yeah, but I think my point is I'm probably going to buy and hold for, I don't know, 9 weeks. I think I'm just going to back Drinky in. Something changed with Tommy and he looks back to his best. Sure, I'll pivot back. But you also mentioned some other fires. I honestly don't have any.
Fair enough.
Like if I'm not doing this, I'm not making trades. So I'm like, let's use it.
Yeah.
To back Drinky against the Titans.
When I say other, I'm thinking cash generation opportunities. My trades for the week. Tane Torpiki to Blaze Talangi. Brennan P. Kura to Kai Pierce Paul.
Love it. I did that last
week.
I've
locked those two in. Now, here's the smoke one for you. Do I get aggressive?
Of course.
And use a second boost? As I said, I'm happy with my cash gen. I'm happy with my team. Jesse Arthurs to Joey Manu.
Hell yeah.
I've currently got, after those two trades, 450K in my bank. So that had cost me, another 200-odd K.
Mm.
So I've still got money to get, plans to get Cleary back in down the track or, a bit in the kitty. It'll be my second boost, which I'm okay with. Arthurs is annoying because I bought him full well knowing that he'd probably do his damage once the run got softer. We knew how hard the Broncos run is. They have Melbourne this week, and then it goes into the softer run. The Dolphins, the Raiders, the Tigers, and I think he can be a really good scorer and earn some great cash.
Walsh is back next week, isn't he? Time frame got cut.
It is next week, is it?
They said, aiming for.
Okay, so that's the one
that's
where I'm
huge.
That was what I was going to say. I'm like, with the longer, when he was out for a longer period, Walsh, I've gone,
that's his ticket to everything, yeah.
Yeah. But at the same, I've made 45K in him. I think I played him in Vegas. I've played him for a couple of
years. You'd never be real confident playing him.
I think I played him for a 48 and a 57 and didn't play in the last 2 weeks. So it's like, he's been fine. And I genuinely believe.
How many tries has he scored by?
He has scored three.
So he's averaging not much with scoring nearly every game.
Three tries, only two line breaks though. So,
You can see a world where he goes on a run for sure.
Yeah.
All pending Walsh.
Worth the boost to go Arthurs to Joey Manu because he looked. He had 11 tackle breaks against the Panthers. He scored about 63 odd, and then he had that unbelievable try where he stood up. Might have been Taylan May.
Yeah.
And he got called back because of the most ridiculous obstruction 30. I've ever seen. What do you reckon?
Let me put it like this. The only way my trades change this week, so I do my Wednesday night recap and I find a way for Joey. I think I went on socials last week. I just want Joey.
He's at 6th gen ownership. He looked unreal.
He's got strong centres, so I don't know where I fit him, but that'll be the only reason I don't get Drinky. But I've said it before in second guest stuff. I think I can get Manu in 3 weeks without too much damage, hopefully.
The next month, Doggies, Knights, Storm. But the Storm game's in Sydney, Dragons.
Round 8, Anzac Day is probably when I target him, but yeah, Broncos. Not a great run for him, but that's probably the only thing.
Doggies and Dragons in that. Knights in
and
Newcastle.
And Brisbane Warriors, yeah.
Joey.
Couple of good ones.
If that trial's out, he just tons up against the Panthers.
Saints Anzac Day is a bit tougher, but as I said, there's a reason I didn't hesitate. I think he's killing it.
My captain's mate, I really want to captain Kalen Ponga. If there's 40 to 80 mils of rain, that's going to turn into a dog fight. So I'll probably avoid it.
With With no rain leading into it, though, it mightn't be as bad as you think. It's not like it's rained for 3 months.
I'm just going to reassess. I'll drop those, the updated captaincy plans, and whether or not I'm going to boost in the SC Paper WhatsApp group later in the week once I get around to that. Of course, the listener question and answer podcast, I record that on a Thursday morning and drop it too. So there'll be trade plans and all that in there.
I do have a question for you before we continue.
Yep.
Vice captain, I'm not sure yet. We'll see. But I could boost. And get...
You've used two, hey?
Yeah. Benny. Probably not Benny. Probably Salmon. To Blaze Talangi. Blaze could easily make 150k.
You're not getting Blaze Talangi. Sorry, that went over my head.
Yeah, so that's... assumed you were. So the question is, do I boost for Blaze?
Oh.
Do we boost for Blaze? Because my sort of... I was looking at it for the show. I probably will because, as you know... I'd rather do something now that I know is going to benefit me than maybe need a boost down the line.
Have you saved any trades
yet? I didn't trade week one. So not at all, no. So it'd basically be 9 trades total. But what it does do, the added benefit of this is currently I'd have 33K spare. If I do that, it would open up another 130. Gives me 170K war chest next week.
Kind of, well, you start planning for Cleary back in as well at some stage.
Yeah, and what it does is, that is cash gen done. I'm not going to be worrying too much about if I lock in Blaze as well.
Yeah, well, I went over my head a bit. I just sort of assumed you'd get into Talangi.
It's worried he could get the sack. Like, Dejan Assi's in there. He could shift back to centre, of course, but like he's not a guarantee. True. If, say, Parra get done again, questions will be asked, so.
Yeah.
People, do I boost for Blaze?
Look, if he
let me know.
If he plays this way, he scores 35. He's projected to make 76.
That's a lot of money. What if he scores 70? He looks good.
I know.
Really like him. Galvin made him look silly, but he's going to do that to a few people.
Yes.
I think I will.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
3 boost.
Talk to me.
Listener questions before we wrap up for today's show. Question from David. Ponga versus Pappenhausen as a buy this week. So we haven't actually spoken about Pappy. Avoided it because of the questions. But
I'm glad someone asked.
Yeah.
A very specific stat around Pappy. He went back to 2022 when he was flying. It was the day he busted his kneecap. No good. Up into that game, which was pretty late in the season or somewhat late, he was averaging 95 for the year, which is amazing. And that's Pappy at his best and Melbourne at his best. So I'm like, I don't know how you go much better than that for reference. Like, he was killing it. He's got 190 in there somewhere.
He was goal-kicking.
Goal-kick.
Supreme form. It was a very good Melbourne side.
It was. So take out the goal-kicking that year. He averaged 83 to the injury game. I take that one out. Yeah. It's like 20 minutes. Can he average much more than 83 based just on that? Difficult, though he looks awesome. They got a few troops back this week.
Broncos, Dogs, Roosters. So two of hard, three one, two of three hard
great.
Games.
Dogs next week, Dogs. Dogs are actually defending okay as well. So I did look at it, and obviously that could be some bias because I just want Pappy in my side because I love him. But if he's going to average 83 at his best without kicking, maybe he averages like 75, 80 if he's still going really well. Maybe he averages 83. If he does, he'll make your coin. The beauty of Pappy is probably some pretty good points. Some pretty good coin the next 2 weeks. But much like Hemmer, if he comes out and scores 30, that's going to dwindle pretty quick.
Munster back, Hughes back. Would you consider for 135K less with guaranteed money and coming with the next 7 with potential keeper status, would you consider Pappy over Drinky?
I did consider him today. Yeah. I'm just backing Drinky in. If anything changes, speaking of WhatsApp, we could have some chat this weekend.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Obviously, with the Monday night game, we haven't really been able to prepare because lockout was today, so it's all a bit up in the air. But, yeah, definitely consider it. I just... 2-3 tough games. He's playing single footy, perhaps. His base is good. He offloads. He's going all right. That just worried me. I went back. I thought he might average more without the kicking at his peak there. So one to consider.
Yeah, to answer David's question, Ponga or Papp as a buy this week?
Oh, Ponga, definitely. I think Ponga showed enough last week that I saw Ponga. He's back.
Yeah.
I will note, second half, he still was tired because there was about 25... nearly 30 minutes where he barely touched it again.
He looks good.
But then
he
doesn't
look great.
But then he got more. I don't know how tight you saw the first half. Oh, my goodness. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, Absolutely ridiculous. He looks good. The Knights don't look great.
Yeah. That left edge started to hum again, though. Like, It's against the Warriors. They cut him up a few times. I think combinations are building again there. I just think KP's about to go back on his run of last year and probably get above a million, barring injury. So I'd get him in as priority.
Question from Dylan Taylor. Hey, mate, love your work. I have Nico and Cleary. Is it worth trading one since Cleary has said he'll be back in round seven after the bye? First thing about that question, just a note to anyone, when I throw the questions on there, when I select them, flattery will get you a long way when I'm choosing which ones to go with. So, yeah, Nico and Cleary, they're spy. Sharky's on the bye. Cleary out, so would need an AE. Would you sell one of those two this week?
Cleary's out for two more, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't want to cop an AE and then know he's not playing for another 3 weeks.
Guaranteed two more weeks out.
Yes,
Jay. Potentially. Like, he's meant to be back around 7. He probably will be, I'm sure, but potentially 3 weeks. Hello, SJ. Play in the meantime.
Yeah, why not? Get on him.
I don't mind it either.
Enjoy the show.
What to do with Labor? This is a question from Riley. So, Spy, after your blow-up, after he killed it in round one, he said, oh, why'd you talk me out of this, that, da, da, da. So gone 26 and 23. 92 break even. He made a grand total of $12,000.
Yeah, he knows I didn't own him. He's deflated.
Doesn't would you sell him?
Week one he thought I owned.
Would you sell him?
Yeah, probably.
Not this week. Next week.
Well, break even 92. Oh, playing the Titans. Hell no. Yeah, just reassess this week.
Give him 1 week. If he goes poor, copper price drop. But he's still a good footballer. So give him the Titans game.
Newcastle, Brisbane. Not easy games, those. Let's see how it goes this week. Reassess.
Question from Delhi, Matt Delavadova. Is Brooks a sell? 88 break even, Manly looking poor, has Penrith and the Wars in New Zealand. Only way I can get Talangi in is if I sell Brooks because I have no CT dub I want to sell. Firstly, look, if he's your ticket to Talangi.
Sell.
Yeah, I like that. Secondly, on Brooks, I'm an owner. It's just the draw. Like, I think he looks good. Manly could not have played worse if they tried on the weekend.
It's nine tackles.
Yeah, it was
what were
just
they doing?
It was just a shit show that game for Manly. Put a line through it, move on.
Yeah.
Anything other than Penrith and the Wars, I'm like, no way. I'm like, hold on to him. You know, like he's a ticket to Cleary when the time comes. That's my plan with him. I will be holding him. Could you see why people would sell?
Yeah, for Talangi, absolutely.
Oh, scrap the Talangi in general. Let's say Brooks to SJ. You got him at halfback.
I think I'd do it. Just that Penrith Warriors terrifies me.
I know.
Yeah, they're so tough matchups. I think I truly think they're the best two sides in the comp defensively. Yeah. Obviously Penrith, but Warriors are very good. Newcastle, to their credit, did very well to get in that match on the weekend. That's a lot to do with KP. Knights are about to fly as well.
I've got Brooks at halfback and Nico on the bye, so I'm holding him there. I could go to like an SJ, but I'm happy to hold Brooks. They're shit matchups. I do think he's looked good, though. Not so
his
much
base is decent, so he's not going to kill you. Yeah. That's the beauty of Brooks, but yeah.
I'm sticking strong.
Yeah. Each way bet there.
Spy, that's going to do us, mate. I'm running out of steam. It's been a big day on the mic.
You've done well, I tell you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. You've been good?
Yeah, what do you reckon? 9.5 out of 10?
8.
8.
Solid 8. Nothing wrong with an 8, mate.
Nothing wrong with
that. Guys, we'll wrap that up for the SC Playbook this week. Do us a favour, jump in, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you are watching us on there. Go and follow us, whatever you do. You like us on socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, SC Playbook, SC Playbook 1. It'll be under something like that. You won't miss it. Support us, do all that good stuff. Get yourself a case of bloke and a beer over the weekend. More importantly, have a great week yourself. Cheers.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.